In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 147, Perfect and Imperfect Contrition. We have a drawing of the picture there of our Lord at table with some men, and looks like Mary Magdalene at his feet. And the caption reads, "Perfect contrition implies a fervent love of God. We are sorry for our sins because they offend God, who is so good." Mary Magdalene had perfect contrition. Her contrition was so perfect that she never sinned again. She followed our Lord and was at the foot of the cross when he was crucified. Her perfect contrition and love were greatly rewarded, for he appeared to her on Easter morning. We should all try to imitate Mary Magdalene's contrition, arising from sorrow at offending God. When is our contrition perfect? Our contrition is perfect when we are sorry for our sins because sin offends God, whom we love above all things for his own sake. Quote, "Wherefore I say to thee, her sins, many as they are, shall be forgiven her, because she has loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven loves little." And he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they who were at table with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." From St. Luke chapter 7, verses 47 through 50. This contrition arises from a pure and perfect love of God. If we have a perfect love of God, our contrition for sins will be perfect. Thus, we shall be sorry, not only because we fear punishment or dread the loss of his gifts, but because we offend the good God, to whom nothing is more evil than sin. 2. It ought not to be difficult for us to have a perfect love of God. We generally love our parents not for the food and clothes they give us, but for themselves, because we see their self-sacrifice and unselfishness and other good qualities. If we can love our parents spontaneously, not for any reward we expect or punishment we wish to avoid, why can we not love God, who is infinitely more lovable than our parents? If we love God spontaneously because he is lovable in himself, our love is perfect. Is it easy to make an act of perfect contrition sincerely? It is easy if we sincerely wish to love God. We can excite ourselves to it by thinking of the Passion, of how good God is, how many favors he has granted us, and how ungrateful we have been to him in return for his goodness. By thinking of God's gifts, we realize a little the goodness of God and his worthiness to be loved for his own sake. We then feel sorry for having offended our benefactor by the sins we have committed. Second, an act of perfect contrition takes away sin immediately. Our sins, however grievous, are forgiven before we confess them, although the obligation to confess as soon as we can remains. Thus, if one makes an act of perfect contrition after having committed a mortal sin, and then dies before being able to go to confession, he is saved from hell by the act he made. Let us remember the penitent thief. Quote, "And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. from St. Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. However, we may not receive Holy Communion after committing a mortal sin if we merely make an act of perfect contrition. One who has sinned grievously must go to confession before receiving Holy Communion. The act of perfect contrition means salvation if we die, but without confession, it does not give a right to the sacraments. 3. If we happen to be assisting at a deathbed and no priest is available, we should help the dying person make an act of perfect contrition. Example, the father of a family met with an accident and was at the point of death. The youngest child, who had recently made his first communion, saw that his father would die before the priest could arrive. He therefore took a crucifix from the wall and, holding it before his father's eyes, repeated aloud an act of contrition. Tears filled the dying man's eyes. He died before the priest arrived, but his act of contrition washed his soul clean of sin. 4. We should form the habit of making an act of perfect contrition as often as possible. It is only necessary to raise our hearts to God in pure love and say some such words as, quote, O my God, I am sorry I ever offended thee, because thou art so good and I love thee, end quote. When is our contrition imperfect? Our contrition is imperfect when we are sorry for our sins because they are hateful in themselves, or because we fear God's punishment. Imperfect contrition is called attrition. The fear of hell is a common motive of attrition. It is a good motive, but it is imperfect because it arises from fear of God's punishments and not from pure love for Him. A mother sent her three young sons to take a big jar of honey to their grandmother. On the way, the boys stopped to play. They stumbled over the jar, breaking it and spilling the honey. They all began to weep. The first said, Mother will surely spank us. The second cried, She will be so displeased she will give us no cookies. And the third wept, Mother will surely be sad. The first two boys had attrition. One had the fear of punishment, and the second had sorrow at the loss of reward. The third child had perfect contrition, for he thought only of the sadness and offense he caused to one he loved. Second, imperfect contrition, or attrition, is sufficient for a worthy reception of the sacrament of penance. An act of attrition cannot obtain forgiveness of mortal sin without the absolution of a priest. However, even if we feel only attrition for our sins, we can easily develop it into perfect contrition by remembering what we should be without God. We should always try to have perfect contrition in the sacrament of penance, because perfect contrition is more pleasing to God, and because with His help we can always have it. Third, a purely servile fear of God is not sufficient for imperfect contrition. That is one which makes a person avoid sin only because of punishment, so that if there were no punishment, he would not be sorry, but ready and resolved to sin, regardless of the laws of God. We call this fear servile because it is the fear of slaves, afraid of a hard taskmaster. They would quickly disobey his commands, were they not afraid of his whips. Shall we look upon God thus? To receive the sacrament of penance worthily, purely servile fear would not be sufficient. Servile fear does not make the sinner turn away from his sin. The fear of God that produces attrition is called filial fear. It is a fear of God's punishments that makes the sinner turn away from his sin, and return sincerely to God. It is the fear that a good son who has offended his father seriously feels when he begs forgiveness. That concludes the reading for this lesson. Do we have any questions or comments? guess not. I thought there would be some questions here, distinguishing perfect and imperfect contrition. The servile fear, I thought, would be a little bit questionable for some people, because we know that an imperfect act of contrition is sufficient for the sacrament of penance, but that imperfect act of contrition, I guess, presupposes, if you will, a filial fear of God rather than a servile fear. And the distinction there is that the servile fear would continue to sin even if it offended God, as long as he did not get punished. The servile fear obeys simply because of fear of punishment, but regardless of the law, he would commit that act again and again, as long as he could resolve that I will not be punished for it. So if I can get away with it, I'm going to go ahead and do it, is a servile fear. And the filial fear is that we don't want to ever commit the sin again, because it is offensive to God, to one whom we love so much. And that would be filial fear. Okay, if there are no questions or comments, then we will end with our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.